Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Nobody Panic, the second part of a two-part journey. Come on in, everyone.
So if you haven't listened to the first part, which is how to identify if you're a people pleaser, go back and have a listen, because Tessa takes us through four different types of people pleaser, and I have a full psychotic break.
it's a lot. It's a lot. There's a lot going on for Stevie. So go back, listen to a real-time revelation.
It might help you to identify.
Oh yeah,
your
sure. You're not just
pleasing.
Going to voyeur Stevie through it. I had mine, but I had mine in the car alone, and I already made peace with mine. Stevie's going through it, and I suspect a lot of people will be able to identify with one of the four different types of people pleaser. So do go back. We'll wait for you. Oh, you're back. Thank you. Come on
Hello.
In. What did you think of that episode? We've never really done it like this before, but we were so over time, we thought, yeah, let's just keep going.
Lots to say.
So this one is all about how to actually stop being a people pleaser, because we realized at the end of last episode, we hadn't even touched the surface of how to stop.
And we'd got to the end of time. But it's like the assertiveness thing where, well, when I hear how to stop being a people pleaser, it's like, well, you've got to be a bit. But of course, we're saying about like how to stop being a people pleaser to the extent that you are, you know.
I think it's not how to stop pleasing people or how to stop being nice. The title of her book is literally Please Yourself. It's about that focus. And I think we should maybe look at the word people pleaser as a negative. I think that would be a helpful thing to unpack, because once you admit that that's a negative thing to be, then you're like, okay, I will try to change. Because if you're like, I'm a people pleaser and that's nice, then you're like, you haven't done the work about why you do it and if it actually is nice.
Which feels like the type one person of being like, the classic people pleaser of being like, well, what's not? Everyone likes the dinner that I put on. Everyone likes the party I did. Everyone likes the drinks place I chose. So what could be possibly bad? And I suppose it's quite difficult. Yeah, you have to see it as negative. Otherwise, the cycle just continues forever.
Yeah, the classic people pleaser, their thing is self-esteem is replaced by others' esteem. And so you have to see that as a negative thing. Otherwise, you get lost in there. The host has been completely lost within the context of like, wasn't this a good party? Be like, yeah, but it wasn't about them. And it's like, yeah, it is about you. Not me first, but me too. Like, I should be part of this. And the second type of person is the shadow people pleaser. If you've seen the Julie Walters and Victoria Wood comic relief special, where... Julie Walters takes up, it's so funny. It might not even be comic relief. Julie Walters is a sort of, plays a version of herself. Victoria Wood plays a version of herself. And Julie is a sort of famous actress going around the country being so bad at everything. She's like, she's awful. And she goes on Strictly Come Dancing and she can't, like, you know, it's very funny. But Victoria Wood is an absolute shadow pleaser. And she doesn't have any life whatsoever. Her life is just in service of Julie Walters. And, you know, and while that's a noble and honourable thing, it's like, is it? Or did Victoria Wood not get a life?
You can do both. You
this,
can, you know, help so somebody like, you, and also have your own thing both. Going on as well.
And also have your own thing going on. Your life should not be defined by how good you are to other people. And then the pacifier people pleaser, which is the keeping everyone happy. If everyone's fine, then that's fine. And I don't need an opinion as long as the group is happy. And then Stevie in the resistor people pleaser, convinced they'll never be able to please. To
yes.
avoid
everything. So let's go through. So how can we fix this ill?
So firstly, I think of somebody in your life who is a people pleaser, either Victoria Wood, either everyone's friend, Victoria Wood, either like a character that you've seen on the telly, if you're struggling to find someone in your real life, like either a fictional character, but then find one in your real life, or maybe there's somebody who always does it to you, and really have a look and be like, ah, yeah, okay, I get it. I think that's what they're doing. And I think that's why they're doing it. And then be like, yeah, it's annoying.
This is the thing I was going to say, is that actually it's sometimes quite difficult to identify a people pleaser because, so I've got a friend who is adorable, but the people pleasing doesn't come off like she's trying to please the people, i.e. me. It comes off like she's just a bit too much. And I feel like I have to do so much of the heavy lifting when we're hanging out, because I have to sort of figure out where we're going. I have to like book the place. Also, I leave feeling like I've talked too much and I've given, and she's just asked lovely questions about me. And I leave being like, oh, it was horrible, I didn't ask enough. And I'm like, no, I did ask. She just deflected and didn't, because it's, oh, I'm not interesting. And you actually feel quite drained and quite exhausted after seeing her sometimes. Sometimes it's great because she is lovely, but it was only very, very late on that I was like, you know, I've known her for years and years and years. Only very, very recently that I was like, oh, it's coming from a people pleasing. I didn't think people pleasing, but it's coming from a good place. And now we're doing this. I'm like, oh yeah, she's a people pleaser. So maybe that is something to look out for, like, with someone else as well. Yeah, yeah.
And it also is, that's annoying. Where, and it be is like, okay, it how is does annoying. It actually make you feel when you're on the receiving end of it? And then you're like, ah, oh, okay, that is annoying. So when you do it, you think this is lovely and people like it, and I'm making it easy for people by not choosing the place, or blah, 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 or I don't want to be a bother, or
having no opinions as well. Be like, oh yeah, that's great. Oh, amazing. Agreeing all the time.
I just agree with you being like, what did you think of the film? I agree with that. Rather than, and then when it happens to you, you're like, no, I didn't want affirmation of my opinion. I wanted to have a discussion about it. Like, it's okay. Like, we can disagree and talk about it. That's what conversation is. And so when you can identify that in someone else, you're like, ah, okay. Me and my friend Kat are both terrible housemate Kat, everyone remembers housemate Kat, terrible people pleasers. And we tried to go for a drink last week and we ended up just on the street hugging each other. eventually we just had to play a game where we were going to like walk 10 steps and then just like the first thing we could see, we were just going to go in, because we were both so bad at being the one who chooses the place, because we don't want to get it wrong. Fear of getting it wrong. Think the other person will always have a better idea. Think our ideas are bad. Don't want to choose a place. And when we get there, everyone say, this is the worst place. Why have we come here? Et cetera, et cetera. And both of us terrible pacifiers and are like, oh, not to worry. As long as everyone's happy. So therefore, whenever we have to see each other, we're like, we're able now to identify our problems and we laugh about it, but we are so bad at it. So if you have a person in your life that you can laugh with, they can be your practice person for you to be like, okay, here's the deal. Next, you're going to alternate who's going to choose, and next time you're going to be the person, and you say, and you just you decide the date and you say what we're doing, and you don't even ask me what I'm doing, and you don't do it to try and make me happy. You decide what you would like to do for the evening, and then we do it.
The problem is that when you come up against someone who also is a dick, then that can set back a people pleaser, I imagine. That, like the pacifier, the classic
of course.
People pleaser, so much because, for example, I know somebody who is like that, and their friends were like coming, their friends like live kind of all over the UK, and they were coming to London specifically to do something. And he was like, oh, well, there's like a pub down the road that just like, because me and him have gone there quite a few times to have lunch and stuff. And it's really nice. And then suddenly it was like, oh, that looks like, no, the options aren't. Basically, people just like slamming the truck. And it was like, okay, it was just supposed to be like a casual like thing. Why? And then, of course, then the people pleaser goes, oh, my idea was stupid. And so the next time, like, I won't say anything.
You haven't.
They've been... they've been weirdly specific about what like gastropub they go to, and it's so hard to put it on the other person. But if you, the more you do, I suppose the easier it is. I remember someone saying to me once about like just like how important it is. I mean, it was my therapist, but I just feel like I've said my therapist so many times in this in the previous episode that I can't say it now, but I will. She's just like, sometimes people aren't nice, and I was like, yes, I know that. And she's like, well, you literally never. Act like you know that. I will justify why it's always, oh, I probably could have been better at and facilitating that, or I, but it's actually sometimes people are just like they're a bit of a dick, and you kind of go, oh, you didn't need to be a bit like a dick about that. Like I suggested this thing.
So this is the most important thing. Begin in your safest circle. So if you identify your life as like right in the center, like here are the people that you would, your boss maybe, or a person in your life who you never managed to get it right with or whatever. And then, you know, the relationships that matter the most to you and who you most fall into your people pleasing habits with. And then outside that, it's like colleagues and then like neighbors and then like passing people, strangers, people you passed in the supermarket. And you're going to practice with your, so you don't start with being like, I chose the restaurant for my boss and I don't care if they didn't, like, it was for me. You start in the supermarket and you practice there. And if it's like two of you are going for the last loaf of bread and your instinct is to be like, you have it because you're a nice person, but also because you're like secret little hit of being like, I'm a nice person. And then you're like, I shall steal the bread. I mean, obviously, if it's like, you know, obviously.
You've gone very sort of like Disney's Aladdin.
Yeah.
Very.
I don't know. I mean, I still wouldn't take the bread. I would be like, yeah, you have it. I don't care. But like,
what about like, so for example, we've got like, in my world, it would be my family. Mm-hmm. I've no problem. Or like I do still, but it would be easy for me to be like, hey, should we do this? Or shall we with them? Cause I feel safe with them. Okay. Like you will have people that, so you could start like suggesting things with people that you feel safe with rather than maybe fighting over bread.
I would say you still want to, even before you get to your family, I would still have some practices in the bread aisle. You know, just having practice sort of like standing up for yourself a little bit more and being like, I will.
I just want to start a fight because nothing really ever happens in the supermarket to me.
All right, just in your day-to-day life, just sort of being like, yeah, if you're always like, no, go ahead of me in the queue, or if you're always at the bar, I'd be like, they were here first, even if they weren't. Like, just be like, huh, just identify in your day-to-day life. Take a little time with yourself being like, huh, okay, this is how often I automatically put somebody else ahead of me. Then move to the people that you feel like safest and upfront tell them, be like, I've listened to this wild podcast. It got out of hand and I'm now practicing this people pleasing thing. So, or trying to stop being a people pleaser, which I now know is a negative word. So would it be okay? So this is what I'm going to be doing. And so you can stop me if I say, no, you choose or whatever. Just like tell them what you're doing and then work up to the people who you don't say in advance that you're going to do this thing. So you haven't mentioned to your colleagues or your boss or whatever relationship or your friend that you always do what they want to do. And now you're like, okay, I'm not told them this is what I'm doing behind the scenes. I'm simply making the decisions and I'm choosing and I'm going ahead. And so it's basically about giving yourself permission to have an impact on other people and leave the responsibility of this impact with them. Which sounds it sounds like you're like, I shout on the floor and it's up to you, but it's not. And if that, and if those words make you feel like, oh, that sounds like a bad person, be like, yes, because you're just like crouched in the corner, be like, I mustn't do anything that impacts other people. It doesn't have to be negative. It's like, we're doing this evening. I'm doing this. Do you want to come? Like, this is where I chose. Be like, you don't have to be responsible for everybody around you. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the sea? There isn't a finite amount of pie. Everyone is allowed to have a good time here. And it's like, if you have a good time, they don't. No, we can all just have a good time. If there's like a sharing thing on the menu and people are like, should we get some of these? I'm like, yeah, even though I wanted the potatoes, you know? And now increasingly, absolutely, I'm like, I'm going to buy myself a side of mash. Anyone's welcome to it, but I really want mashed potato. And then everyone's like, oh my God, lovely. I'd love some mashed potato. And I was like, oh, great. But I bought the mashed potato for myself. And so increasingly, be like, you know what? Listen, no one's saying it's not weird to have a side of mashed potato, but I really want it. That's what I'm having. And everyone's like, God, I respect that so much. And then other people are like, do you know what I'd really like, actually? Just one Padron pepper. And then you're like,
one pea.
Just one pea, please. Or like, people are like, I'd actually like this quite weird thing off the menu. And suddenly you're like, great. Now we're a bunch of freaks having some weird shit off the menu, rather than everyone being like, would you like bread? And then trying to be like, is bread what you like? Is it? And then everyone,
I couldn't possibly get it.
I don't I want it. But I remember you like bread. So would that make you happy? Just do you want a Padron pepper? You know, just you fry your, and it'd be like, and that is so exciting when you do meet people. It's quite exhilarating being in the wake of someone who's like, I like this, so I got it. And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, baby.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, a couple of more things. If you receive a text to be invited to something that you do not want to do, or occasionally literally know that you cannot do, but do not want to let them down. And even though you look in your calendar and you think, oh, fuck, I've got to be at that. I can't even go. And you say like, oh, lovely. And then you think, why the hell did I say that? And so it's like in that moment you wanted to make them happy. And then you're like, now I'm just carrying around this albatross around my neck of the time I said, is that even right? An albatross? Whatever. It's around your neck now.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like, I said I could go and now I have to get out of it. They're going to be so cross. I let them down. What you're going to do is when you are asked anything, invited to something, asked, what do you want for dinner? Would you like, what are these? Do you want mashed potato? What do you think of the film? What is your truth? You are going to take 10 seconds. You probably won't make it to 10, but you're going to be like, I don't answer straight away. I have a little reset, so I don't do my automatic thing, which is whatever you want, or lovely, or what did you think, or doesn't bother me. You think, okay, 10 seconds. You think, 10 seconds? Everyone will think I've had a stroke. No, they'll just be like, she's having a think. You have a think, you reset your mind away from your automatic response, and then you say your actual truth. So if you receive a text or something, if you can't go, you say, oh, that sounds great. I'm so sorry, I'm busy, which is the truth. Or let me get back to you a bit closer to the time.
Let me check my diary.
Let me check your diary. Is a perfect way of being like, just buy yourself a little bit more time to build up to the, I'm really sorry, I can't. Or I simply don't want to do that. You know, there's something very freeing about, obviously.
Well, hang on, you say this to the person, I simply don't want to do that.
If for certain circumstances, and obviously this is advanced black belt stuff, so let's not begin here because you don't, you know, not for you. But like at some point, they're two good friends. There is something very freeing about being like, I don't want to do that, you know?
Oh, that is true. Well, there has been situations where there'll be parties and it's people that I'm just a bit like, I don't really like. Or like they're scary. They're scary people. And then my friends be like, actually, it happened the other day. My friend was going to, I was meeting someone, and then afterwards they'd been invited to this party that I'd been invited to because all loads of cool people. And he's like, do you want, and I was like, oh, well, I'm invited. And he's like, doesn't matter, you could be my chaperone. And I was like, I don't want to go because they frightened me. And he's like, well, okay, that's fair enough.
And again, like, we've really made a mess of ourselves here, that we are, our instinct when someone says, I don't want to do that, is to be like, why? It's like they shot someone. Like,
you don't like me.
It's okay, it's like, no, to say you don't thing. Want to do things or what you do and don't like. And it's not done in a dickish way. It's simply you taking ownership of what you do and don't like. And the more we do this podcast, I'm literally like, what the hell is going on? That here you and I both are spiraling around the idea of saying what you do and don't like in public. Like, this is,
I know,
this is nuts. And so, you know, you just need to get yourself to a place where you can politely and friendly say, like, oh, I really don't want to do that, thank you. Or let's do this, or we could do something else, or whatever. And just taking ownership of your things rather than just being, you're basically making yourself a passenger in your own life.
Yes. And also it is, I feel like it's valid to, if you never get to the place of being able to be like, I simply don't want to do that. Cause even though it's mad, that is kind of like top tier, God tier business. As long as, I think what's more disturbing is that we're not able to say that to ourselves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like, as long as you're able to say to yourself, oh, I don't want to do that. Okay. And I'll just say I can't. That's fine. Because then you are at least at the level where you are not doing something you want to do. I've got a friend who is still not told, a mutual friend, that they're like, she's been invited to a wedding. There's a wedding the same day in another country. And she's told both of them she's going.
We've got a disproportionate amount of guilt. That happened to me last year. I had two weddings on the same day, had said yes to both. And
oh my God.
I remember walking around the park. I was walking across the park and I had to like stop. And I was like, I think I'm going to be sick. Like, that was how much the guilt had like eaten me up inside. And then when I told my friend I couldn't come to hers, she was like, oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Oh, well, that was the end. You know, like,
yeah.
And all, like, there was no repercussion and it was fine. And I made myself physically sick. We have got to get out of this pattern. Okay, two more things.
Yes.
We're going to break out of the prison of praise. If for you, praise is a prison, praise is not all it's cracked up to be, and it teaches you to keep behaving in the way that other people find acceptable or easy. So if people keep being like, oh, Tessa won't mind, then you're like, great, everyone, Tessa won't mind. You know, you get into this habit. Stevie doesn't want to go to the sea. You get into a habit of people thinking things about you that are not the case, because that's what you've got yourself into the habit of.
Yeah. So then you start playing the role more, because you're like, not only is that what I've done, that's now what's expected of me.
We have to give up the hit of praise that we get when we please people. So you've literally become addicted to the praise that people give you when you do it well. You got to give it up.
How do you do that? Because when you're trying to break a habit, what I found interesting is how you can't really break a habit until you genuinely get a bigger kick of not doing the thing than you do of doing it. So maybe that works here. Like, every time you are able to assert your opinion or whatever your particular signs are of people pleasing that are detrimental, every time you, so for me, it would be like, doing the thing that I'm sort of worried that because I'm a resistor one. So I resist people pleasing because I think I won't be able to do it. Actually giving the birthday present or turning up at the thing and or saying no to the thing or whatever it is. I suppose it's about relishing in what you get from that. And once that is more beneficial to you and it feels better than just the praise and then you having to do the thing you don't want to do, then the scales will tip. Is that kind of the thinking?
I think that's 100% it, Stevie. I think it's just about being like, identifying where you might get the praise, being like, ah, yeah, there it is. And then being like, okay, I'm going to get something else. I'm going to get a lovely hit from doing a thing I wanted to do. I think it's like, so say that you... people say, we're going to go do this. Do you want to come? And your instinct is to be like, no, because I won't be fun. And then you say, yes, I will come. And then people maybe might say to you, God, you were fun, Stevie. And then you might be like, I was fun. And then you'd be like, no, thank you. That's very nice. But I'm not here because you think I was fun. I'm here because I'm having a fantastic time at Stonehenge. I'm having, rather than what you think of me. Mm. So it's just about listening to other people's opinions and them not having so much effect on you and you just constantly being like, what do I want out of this? And it leads us into the final thing and the biggest thing, which is finding replacements for others' validation. So if this is what you've
Ooh.
And so this is what you've relied on your whole life, or you didn't know you relied on it till now. You're like, ah, yes, I see. And it's like, okay, where else will I get this? You're like, oh, you have to praise yourself? And then if you're like, well, that feels weird, it's like, yeah, because praise is weird. So instead, it's just always about being like, what do I like? And it's about just making yourself a list. It can be really secret, because I imagine it will be embarrassing, but a secret list of things that you're like, this is a thing I really like to do that's just for me.
Got taken out a few years ago to afternoon tea and was like, this is very off brand for me, but I fucking love an afternoon tea. Thank you very much. In the most quaint tea shop imaginable. That's what I want. What's weird is you go like, it's a bit weird to like that. It's not really something that, or like people go like, oh, do you? Or like whatever. Like when I told someone, I was like, I absolutely love afternoon tea. They're like, I wouldn't have thought that. That's not an insult.
No.
That's just, I wouldn't have thought that. We are humans. We contain multitudes. Like yeah. That's the fun of when you talk to someone and they come out with an interest or a hobby or a thing that they do or a thing that they eat that is not what you expected. It immediately makes that person more interesting, because they're not doing what people pleasers do, which is where you create a sort of two-dimensional facade of yourself. So then the people that you're talking to don't ever get to relate to you in any way, because you never do anything other than exactly what is expected.
In year 9, I remember we had to do a poster in French about like, what do you like? Or like, what are your hobbies or some shit? And everyone had gone like, j'aime le shopping avec mes amis, you know, or whatever. Partly because we didn't know very much French, and partly because you don't know anything about yourself in year 9 and you want to be like, yeah, that seems cool for the poster, going to the cinema with avec mes amis. And at the time I was, I had a pony and I was competing very competitively every weekend. So my truth was actually not I ever went to the cinema with my friends, because I never ever did it. And it felt to me wildly indulgent and exciting because I was away competing every weekend. But I never ever wrote that on my French, because I didn't want people to know it, I think. And also didn't know how to say all the words. Le cheval, horse.
Fair du cheval.
Oui, fair du cheval. Oh, très bien, Stevie. Fair
I only cheval. Remember that because I said it and my friend was like, you don't have a horse. And I was like, yes, the only thing I could remember to say.
Oh, so, well done. Okay. Anyway, I do vividly remember a very cool girl in my year. Absolutely. Boyfriend, into drugs, hang out with the Charwell boys. Absolutely. Grade A, cool. And not in a mean girl's way, in a like back of the bike sheds, cool, wrote that she hangs out in the park with these old men and plays competitive Scrabble. And I remember being like, what? And that was her thing. That's what she did. And she was really, really good at Scrabble. And it blew my tiny year 9 mind of being like, people don't want you just to say the generic stuff. It's like what you like and own it. And it doesn't make you any less cool. And you can still hang out with the Charwell boys, but you can also play competitive Scrabble, because what's the most cool thing in the world is to be totally in tune with yourself and know what you like rather than trying to impress
or please
anyone else.
They are the cool people.
Right?
They are the people. And it's not like people pleasers definitely want to be cool, but they do definitely not want to stick out.
Stick
they want
out.
To fit
we
in.
We don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to get it wrong.
You cannot get it wrong. And actually, the more honest you go, the more right you get it.
The more right
you
get it.
People feel so relaxed, because then they feel like they don't have to pretend. Whereas that's the thing. When you are with somebody who is pretending, you tense up because you feel like you can't say stuff now. Like you now can't say anything wrong because they're so on point with everything. They agree with everything. So then when you go, I disagree with anything they say, then you feel like you have like ruined the conversation.
Okay, we're coming to the end here. I just want to say my final thing about the owning your truth. I was just remembering then, as I was telling you that I never ever told people about riding my pony, that I told everybody, I went to a party the other day, got very drunk. People were like, I didn't know you rode. And I was like, yeah, I keep it very quiet. And then if someone was discussing the Olympics and the dressage to music, and they were like, you've never done that. Have you done that? And I was like, oh yeah. And then they were like, what was your song? And I was like, and my heart was like, don't tell them. And I never ever told anybody. And I was like,
no, I don't know this.
No, exactly.
I didn't know you did dressage.
I know. I didn't. I did 3-day eventing, but I, as a subgroup, also sometimes did the dressage to music, just in case anyone listening is like, dressage? My music, my pony was called Andy. And my song was Dry Your Eyes, Mates by The Streets.
That's amazing.
I know. show, but I never told people because I was like, this isn't what's cool. What's cool is this. And so you never talk about your truth or the things that you were actually getting up to, even though they are all cool if you just admit your, if you just admit what you're up to. And so
Andy in the streets, what great.
He was ever so nervous. He's really nervous. And once it came on the radio and he really calmed down, he loved it. And so we used to, that was our song, and we used, that was what our routine was too. And so,
oh my God. I would pay thousands to watch you do that.
I know. So, like, so my point is, like, you let yourself be free of worrying, like, what other people want or what they're doing or anything, or like always second guessing or thinking like people won't want me there. Or it's like, it doesn't matter. You have one life. You're going to stop from this moment forward being a people pleaser, guessing how you'll please the other people, and you're going to please yourself.
And if you can please yourself, you will inadvertently please everyone right? so much better.
Right? Everybody at this party loved my story. Oh, yes. Wow. Stevie.
Well, there was a lot. That was the first ever part one and part two. Who knew it would be about people pleasing? I thought that this was going to be sort of, we'll rattle through it, but we didn't.
We had so much to do. If you would like to listen to a more depth and more coherent analysis of this, I strongly recommend the book, Please Yourself by Emma Reid Terrell. It is very good. She's got a lovely voice. It's very nice as an audiobook if it's something if you prefer to listen, but I'm sure it's delicious to look at, written down as well. If you would like a different sort of audiobook, can we recommend our book?
Oh, yes. We've just finished doing the audiobook. A lot of fun. A lot of extra sort of little quips and business
DVD extras
in the audiobook.
Post-chapter analysis.
Yes, we'll have a lovely week. Next week, we'll go back to doing sort of one episode per week rather than
maybe.
Just stretching it.
We've opened the floodgates now. You're no stopping us.
On like how to frame a picture. Seven parts.
Could be.
Yes. And do email us if you've got a suggestion for a podcast episode. nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you ever so much for being here. And we will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.